It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 23rd. How are we doing this morning? Well, summer has arrived, and I hope your golf game has arrived as well. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by the Travelers Championship. See Scottie Scheffler, defending champion Keegan Bradley, at the Northeast's only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship. Final round starts this morning. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. And wow, the only PGA Tour tournament in the entire Northeast of the United States going on, Cromwell, Connecticut, and I had the opportunity to play in their celebrity pro-am this past Wednesday. What a blast. Really had a great time. Michael Breed, host of A New Breed of Golf on Sirius PGA Tour Radio, he was the pro in our foursome. Just so much fun. He has a great attitude. And Javier Cullen, the talented singer from The Voice, who I'd never met before, also played with us. And Nancy Stevens, the field hockey coach from UConn. We all played together. It was so much fun. You know, it was great to watch Michael Breed strike the ball. I mean, he hits it a mile off the tee. And again, he's so positive. And, you know, that's so important when you're playing such a difficult sport. It's so hard to stay positive, as you know, in golf. You're only as good as your last good shot. And for amateurs, sometimes those good shots come few and far between. But Michael has high energy. It's all positive energy, and he really generously gave each of us a tip that we could take away from the round. And for me, it was a putting tip. I'm working on trying to be more consistent with a smooth putting motion. And interesting, he suggested when I hit the ball to pretend like the ball is not there. Like my practice swing is smooth. And so I'm trying to maintain that smooth motion when I hit the putt. So that was an interesting tip. And I've been trying it and it's really helping, I have to say. And yeah, I love to see when these pros embrace the experience with amateur golfers. You really have to have a passion for teaching and growing the game and working with all different kinds of ability levels. It takes a lot of patience and it really takes a lot of passion for the game. And Javier Cullen, he can hit the ball. He won the Voice competition in season one. That was back in 2011. He's a lefty. He plays a lot of golf. Very good player. He plays during the day and his musical gigs are at night. A lot of musicians are like that who are passionate about golf. Alice Cooper, he plays a lot of golf during the day. Vince Gill, Smokey Robinson, all these people I've interviewed, these musicians, Alex Lifeson from Rush, they play a lot of golf and they love it. And Nancy Stevens, who was the head coach of the UConn women's field hockey team for 30 seasons, compiled the most wins of any field hockey coach in Division I. What a pleasure to get to know Nancy Stevens. And she can hit the ball. You know, she kind of has that field hockey swing going. And, you know, I come from more of a tennis background. So between Nancy's field hockey background and me with my tennis background, we kind of each bring our own athletic swings to the sport. And, boy, I wish I would have learned the game when I was younger, right? I only took it up when I was in my 20s. Tennis was really my sport as a kid. But the Travelers Championship yesterday, Cameron Young, who grew up learning the game right at Sleepy Hollow Golf Club in Westchester County, shooting a 59. That's the 13th sub-60 score in PGA Tour history. And he had to make a 9-footer for par on the 18th to card that 59 to join 12 other players on the PGA Tour to shoot under 60. A birdie there would have tied him with that 58 score that Jim Furyk shot at the Travelers Championship back in 2016. But, hey, David Young, Cameron's father, was there. He was the head pro at Sleepy Hollow Golf Club where Cameron grew up playing the game. And our Met Golf Writers Association, we honored the Young family as our Family of the Year last year at our National Awards Dinner that happened to be at Sleepy Hollow last year. It was awesome. So, yeah, Cameron just played lights out. His third round included two eagles on par fours, an eagle on the third hole, an eagle on the 15th. He birdied the first two holes. He eagled the third, holing out a pitching wedge from 142 yards. He drained an 18-footer for birdie on the fourth. He shot a 28 on the front nine. Then he birdied the 13th. He smacked his tee shot 280 yards to within 4 feet on the 15th for that second eagle of the day. He birdied the 17th. Then he parred the 18th for that 59 and to go 11 under for the tournament. But listen to this. In that 59, Cameron hit the fewest number of fairways of any of the sub-60 scores. He hit six fairways. So he scrambled a bit yesterday for sure. And he was able to get his round in before there was a 2-hour and 50-minute rain delay. You know, he struggled, Cameron, heading into this week. He was tied for 63rd at the PGA Championship. He missed the cut at the RBC Canadian Open. He tied for 50th at the Memorial. Tied for 67th at the U.S. Open last week. And I talked with his caddy earlier in the week, Stevie, at the Travelers, and we were talking about how Cameron's game is just really coming together. He's playing well, but previously the scores maybe not have indicated that. But boy, yesterday it all came together for that stellar 59. Really, really amazing. All right, so on that leaderboard, and what a shootout it is going to be this final round. Tan Kim, after carding a 5-under, he finished in the dark last night. He finished at a little, maybe it was 8:30 last night, if I remember. He's the sole leader at 18-under, and his scores have been so impressive. 62, 65, 65. Akshay Bhatia, Scottie Scheffler, they're both one shot back at 17-under, and they both shot 6-under 64s yesterday. And Scheffler, he almost eagled the 18th just before it got dark last night. He had a tap-in birdie on 18 as he finished yesterday's round. He had birdies on 15, 16, 17, and 18. Xander Schauffele also shot a 6-under 64. He joins Sungjae Im at 16-under. Colin Morikawa, he's at 15-under. He carded a 63 on Friday and a 66 yesterday. Tony Finau, he had a 6-under 64, tied with Shane Lowry, Justin Thomas. They're at 5-under. They shot 5-unders. All three are at 14-under for the tournament. Cameron Young, as I mentioned, Mr. 59, and Patrick Cantlay, they are five shots back at 13-under. So Tom Kim looking for his fourth win on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler trying for his sixth win of the season. A lot is going on. Bhatia making his Travelers debut. So it's really going to be tight. I mean, the leaderboard is packed. And they have had so much rain on Friday and Saturday. I heard they got almost 2 inches of rain. So greens are soft, very scoreable, as we saw. And because of the forecast later today, the Travelers Championship has moved up their tee times. Final round play began actually this morning at 6:50 with groups of three, and the leaders would tee off at 11:15 this morning with an anticipated finish at around 4 this afternoon. So Golf Channel coverage will be from noon to 2, and CBS will take over the coverage from 2 to 6. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship final round this afternoon is the Holly Country Club in the state of Washington. And the total purse for the women, $10.4 million, which is awesome. Amy Yang, after a 1-under yesterday, she's the leader by 2 at 7-under. Mayu Yamashita of Japan, Lauren Hartledge of the U.S., they are 2 behind at 5-under. Sarah Schmitzel, she struggled with a +2 yesterday. She is 4-under for the championship. She's 3 shots back. There are 5 women at 3-under, 4 shots back, including Lexi Thompson. She carded a +1 yesterday, and you remember Lexi during the U.S. Women's Open announced that she would be retiring after the season. Now on Friday, Nelly Korda, she struggled with a round of 81 to miss her third straight cut. Very unusual. She had 8 bogeys, a double. She birdied the 18th before carding a +981. She was 6 over after 2 rounds. And, you know, at the U.S. Women's Open, she shot an 80 in the opening round. Then she missed the cut at the Major LPGA Classic with scores of 76 and 67. And now Friday, with that 81, her highest score as a pro. Well, look, 5 straight wins is unbelievable. And with all the media attention, all the fanfare, I'm sure it's just exhausting. I mean, the demands on her time, more of everything, more media interviews, more appearances, more requests. And, you know, I'm sure it's taken its toll. It must be mentally very, very tiring. Maybe she needs a break. You know, it just shows you golf can be just heartbreaking. As good as these pros are, and Nelly Korda, I mean, she has emerged as a superstar. As I mentioned, you're only as good as your last great shot, right? The game can sting, and especially when you're least expecting it to sting. The deadline to make the Olympics for the women is right after this KPMG Women's PGA, and the top 15 players in the world are eligible for Paris. A max of 4 players from any country, can get in. No country has 4 players in the top 15. Now, Nelly Korda and Lilia Vu, they have clinched their spots already on Team USA. Rose Zhang, she's ranked 9th, will likely go. Now, Lexi Thompson, she would need to win today or finish 2nd to jump into that top 15. Ellie Ewing would need 5th place or better to move up from 19 to within the top 15. So we'll see what happens today. Now, earlier in the week at the Travelers, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and his team, he was talking about the PGA Tour met with the policy board on Monday. There's nothing new to report as it relates to any agreement between the PGA Tour and the Saudi Public Investment Fund. I mean, there have been rumors that they may be close to a deal. But when the commissioner spoke to reporters earlier at the Travelers, he said he does have regular dialogue with the PIF, and he talks with them multiple times a week. He said the vast majority of any kind of agreement that may take place is being built from the ground up. And he repeated that the agreement is a very complex scenario and that they are not going to negotiate in public. Nor should they, I think. There are so many questions that I would ask, you know, if I had a one-on-one with the commissioner. I won't go through those questions today because there's so many things I want to get to, but a lot of unanswered questions. But it will take time if any deal will be negotiated. And the tour also announced that Tiger Woods has been given a special exemption into future signature events. How do you like that? He said it was important to their membership, the players, directors, the board, any event Tiger plays in. And now I'm saying this, obviously, it makes it bigger, 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 bigger. And, you know, with the dramatic increase in prize money at these signature events, they certainly want to offer the sponsors more bang for their buck. But the question is, you know, can Tiger play more physically? Will he want to compete in these signature events? I mean, last time he spoke about what he was going to be doing this year, his last event, he said, would be the Open Championship, which is at Royal Troon in Scotland in July. So obviously, we know why the PGA Tour would want him to play. But does he want to play all that much golf, you know, next year? Boy, what a finish last Sunday at the U.S. Open. Just incredible. Bryson DeChambeau coming up with the best shot of his life from that bunker to within 4 feet of the cup on 18, about a 50-yard shot from that bunker. And then Rory, gosh, it was two shots up with five holes to play, bogeying three of his final four holes, lipping out what would have been a par save on the 16th from inside 3 feet, and then missing that four-footer on the 18th. But let me tell you, that putt on 18, huge left-to-right break, downhill, quick green, was a very difficult putt. The speed of that green was so fast, and you have to aim perfectly left of that hole, execute the speed perfectly with that slope. It was a very difficult putt. So don't go saying that, oh, God, he missed an easy four-putter that wasn't a four-foot putt. That wasn't the case. You know, a lot of people are criticizing Rory for leaving without congratulating Bryson. He left without talking to the media. I'm not going to criticize Rory for getting out there as fast as he did. You know, he did issue a statement the next day. He said, I'd like to congratulate Bryson. He's a worthy champion, exactly what professional golf needs. He said, as I reflect on my week, I'll rue a few things over the course of the tournament, mostly the two missed putts on 16 and 18 on the final day. But he said, as I always try to do, I'll look at the positives of the week that far outweigh the negatives. And then he went on to say he will be taking a few weeks off to process everything and build himself back up for his defense of the Scottish Open and then the Open at Royal Troon. Well, hey, for a guy who has really been the voice of the PGA Tour in this continuing saga, you know, between the Tour and the Saudis, the last thing I'm going to do is criticize him for leaving the scene of this most heartbreaking day. I mean, everyone has their own way of handling things. And, you know, with everything going on in Rory's personal life and with the turmoil in professional golf, which he has been so vocal about and supporting the PGA Tour, I think just mentally he's scattered. And, you know, they got the scar tissue of these misses will haunt him for a long time. The question will be whether he'll be able to, at this time in his life, completely block those heartbreaking moments out of his mind and move on. Only time will tell. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Coming up in the show, right after this first break, we're going to catch up with Keith Stewart, who is a PGA professional who founded Read the Line. He is golf's only on-site PGA expert covering the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour from a betting perspective. We'll get his opinion of Rory's meltdown on Bryson DeChambeau's U.S. Open win, who he's picking to win the Travelers Championship today, and, you know, what goes into handicapping players in order to make the best picks.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Talkin' Golf. And joining me is PGA professional Keith Stewart, founder of Read the Line, a newsletter of golf.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Analysis and insight and golf's only on-site PGA expert covering the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour from a betting perspective. Hey, Keith. Welcome to Talking Golf.
And good morning. What a fantastic Sunday. I'm so excited about the Travelers. What a leaderboard.
I'm telling you, there's so much going on. And I'll get to the Travelers in a second, but I have to hear your thoughts on the U.S. Open final round. What are your thoughts of Rory McIlroy's meltdown?
Oh, boy. well, I mean, I don't know if I need to pile on him anymore. I think what's interesting about golf, as a PGA pro and having taught the game for so long, golfers have this interesting ability to kind of look at things through their own personal lens. Had Rory lost the U.S. Open with like a 200-yard 7-iron, I think a lot of people would have said, oh, that's a tough shot. But because he missed with a 3-foot putt, and everyone says, well, I could hit that 3-foot putt, not even, like just comparing themselves kind of blindly to the situation, I think it kind of adds to the piling on of Rory and, the collapse and everything else. If I was one of Rory's handlers, I would have just said, hey, man, talk to the media and then leave and then take your 4 weeks off. I mean, he knew when he missed that putt, he wasn't coming to Travelers. So, why wait 4 weeks to talk to everybody? I mean, I feel like he should have just taken the 10 minutes and talked to us all and then moved on. I mean, it was a weird scene down there because there was so much positive energy surrounding Bryson on Sunday for those of us that were there. And then, Rory kind of just added to his own, saga and drama. It seems to circle his life these days.
That's an interesting perspective. I agree. I mean, that putt was so difficult. And, I was talking about it earlier. It just downhill, severe left to right. And who knows what was going through his head, right? I'm not going to beat him up for sure. I mean, it's obviously I'd love to see him at the Travelers, but as you said, it's going to be a shootout. And just take us through your week at the Travelers as you kind of handicap the players. And who did you pick like before the tournament even started? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So on a week where I'm on site. I usually arrive there at some point midday Monday, and I want to look at the golf course. I want to look at the golf course conditions. On a normal week, there aren't many players there. Certainly the week after Pinehurst, you know, the guys were just showing up maybe on a Monday night, on a Tuesday morning. So I want to look at the golf course. I want to see, is it wet? Is it dry? What's the rough like? You know, every golf course is a little different. It's not like playing in a football stadium where they're all the same measurement. So it's a big part of how you handicap the field is understanding the design of the golf course, the agronomy, and then what the weather conditions are going to be all week. I mean, look at the weather these guys have had to face the last 3 days there, right? The off and on the golf course saga. And then once the players show up, then it's get on the range and it's take a look at, you know, I have this famous phrase. It's like, who's working and who's working? So, like, who's got it working? Like, who's great? And then who's working on it? Meaning that, like, are they changing equipment? Are they with their coach? Are they really, like, trying to grind a little bit to try to find something? And then from there, I'll put out content. And then this week, my outright picks from Read the Line before the start of the week were – I thought Ludwig would have a very good week. He now sits T12. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a good I thought this was a good golf course for Sam Burns. Sam has not putted well, so he's kind of sat and has not hit his irons well, so he sits in the middle of the pack. But then the other two guys that I picked pre-tournament were Tom Kim and Akshay Bhatia, and we have this tremendous what we call a Sunday sweat, which means you have to sweat like every shot of the day out because we want these guys to win, and they're sitting in the final group with Scottie Scheffler. So it's going to be a very nervous day here at the Stewart household, for sure.
Wow. So you did have Tom Kim and Akshay Bhatia as potential winners, huh?
Absolutely. Tom Kim, he started the week at 50-1, and Akshay was 80-1. So we've had a very good week, and it's going to be a very exciting day. You know, for reasons that seem, you know, kind of obvious to me, both those guys came in hitting the golf ball really, really well. I mean, Tom Kim finished top 30 in all three majors. Not many people did that that aren't named Scotty or Xander or something like that. And you're looking for value on the betting board. And to get a guy at 50-1 at a place where, I mean, look where Tom Kim has won. He's won twice in Vegas, which were birdie fests. I mean, Travelers is a birdie fest, right? You got to go super low. And then he also won at Sedgefield, which is a very similar golf course design down there in North Carolina to what we see up at Travelers. You know, it's a lot of point and shoot. It's get the ball and play off the tee, hit a wedge close, and then make a putt. So I felt like Tom had a really good skill set for that. And then I've seen Akshay the last 2 weeks out on tour at Memorial. He was 22nd. You know, I mean, very difficult golf course out there. And then I traveled down to Pinehurst, and he finished 16th, where it was another really difficult test. So I knew both those guys were hitting the ball well. It was a wonder. I was just wondering if their putters would hit, and obviously they have.
Unbelievable. Your picks already. Tom Kim, he carded that 5-under, Soul Leader at 18-under. His scores, I mean, 62, 65, 65, more than impressive. And Akshay Bhatia and Scottie Scheffler, they shot 6-under 64s yesterday. They're one shot back. So what are your thoughts today then? I mean, it's a shootout. Would you, if you had to pick one guy to prevail, and I know it's, I mean, the leaderboard's so tight, who would you pick?
I mean, at this point, based upon what he's done this season, I'm very fearful of Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, I have those other two men pre-tournament, but with Scottie being one shot back and obviously playing well, I am very fearful of what he brings to the table today. Of course, the betting boards feel the same way. You know, they have him as the tournament favorite. So if you wanted to bet the tournament today in a live sense, like, you know, in the middle of the tournament here, you know, he is sitting at, plus 125 to win.
Okay.
So that means, yeah, so, I mean, he started the week at 4-1. So he's basically just sitting in position there where if he's almost even money to win the tournament against the field that has, I mean, think about this, Ann. There's 16 guys within six shots of the lead. And somebody would say, well, Keith, well, six shots. I said, well, the guy there shot 59 yesterday. So, like, you know, there's a good chance that somebody from anywhere within six, five, four shots of the lead can do it. And of those guys that are in that, you know, that range, you have five of the top 10 in the world.
Right.
I mean, what a leaderboard they have up there in Connecticut. I mean, you've got Scotty, Xander, Colin, Cantley, and Ludwig. They're all, those guys are all in the top 10 in the world, and they're all within six shots of the lead.
I know you can bet, and I'm not, you know, I'm not somebody who's going to go and bet on, you know, all of these results, right, in golf or any other sport. But you, I mean, the more I learn about it, the more I learn that you can bet on so many different things. I mean, can you bet on, like, who you would say would be that, you know, the next player to shoot a 59? Would that be a bet that you could place or no?
No, because that's probably too specific. But okay. What you could do is, I mean, you could bet every player today their round over under.
Okay.
So if Cam Young's, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but let's say Cam Young to come back again and have a great round, I'm sure his over under is probably like 67.5 or something like that. And you could bet that number. You could bet all of these different groups as a three ball because they're going out in three balls today. You probably brought this up already, but they're expecting weather. So the leaders go off at 11:15 a.m.
Yeah.
So you could bet that final three ball, which would be Tom Kim, Akshay Bhatia, and Scotty Scheffler. You could also bet them head-to-head. You could bet them hole-by-hole. So, like, let's say you and I were sitting there, and we were up on the 16th hole, which is that great par three over the water, and you and I were sitting up there in one of those nice air-conditioned tents overlooking the green. We could bet every group as it comes through, like, who's going to win that hole or who's going to make a birdie or better. So definitely you could get that specific, but who's going to go after another sub-60 score? That one, I'm not sure there's a market for quite yet.
See that? Now, the PGA Tour, they held out for a long time in terms of, you know, betting on players. And take us through the history. How and why did they change their tune to allow betting in golf?
Well, betting became legal, or it gave states the right to determine whether or not they wanted to make sports betting legal back in May of 2018. And at first, all of the different leagues, NFL and NBA, they were all kind of treading water very lightly. How are we going to dive into this? How are we going to do that? A big part of this, which gets kind of in the weeds, or it gets maybe a little bit dry, is that, you know, you have to make sure that your data is correct. So the tour had, it wasn't so much that they were apprehensive about it, but they had to make sure that the data that they were giving out, because those types of bets I just gave you, like hole by hole, you need ShotLink, which is that, you know, resource that they have that everybody sees online that gives you all the data about, you know, the strokes gained and everything else. And if you go to, you know, if you go to PGAtour.com, there's like an endless amount of data about these players, you know, who's good off the front nine, who's good off the back nine. But they needed to put all that in place. And that took a couple of years, and then boom, all of a sudden, and we have COVID, right? And then golf is one of the first sports that comes back, and people still wanted to bet. So betting on golf became super, super, super popular in 2020 because it was one of the first sports that came back that people could wager on. And then from there, it's just skyrocketed. And I started my company back in 2021. And I mean, I'm as busy as I can be. I mean, everyone just loves to bet on golf because it is the most fun sport to bet on golf.
And we must say that the PGA Tour forbids players, caddies, coaches, agents, or anyone connected to a player to place any kind of bet, just so that's clear, right?
Absolutely. They have an integrity policy. It's about a 10-page PDF that everyone has to read and everyone has to sign off on. There is no insider trading. You know, I'm out there every week, and the things that I see are my observations, and then, you know, it's betting. So there's obviously that you could lose. So not everything I do can be right. I'm having a good week this week, but last week at the U.S. Open, I had four guys in the top 11 going into the final round, and they all didn't play well, right? And I didn't have Bryson. So it's like, you know, there's good weeks and bad weeks. It, after all, it is wagering.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like a course like Pinehurst where, you know, you're not really rewarded, in my opinion, for great shots, right? Anything can happen with the slopes on the greens and the rollout areas. That must have been a hard one to pick, don't you think? I mean, there are courses that are harder to pick. Different tournaments are harder to pick than others.
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you just compare the last 2 weeks, the randomness that you were going to get at a U.S. Open between the wire grass and how hard the green surfaces were and the balls bouncing off and all of that, certainly makes gambling a lot more difficult than it would be at a place like the Travelers, where the golf course, when we showed up there on Monday, it was in perfect shape. So if a guy could point and shoot and put the ball where he wanted, like a Tom Kim or an Akshay, I mean, those guys are hitting the ball so very, very well. And he just felt like, well, geez, if these guys could putt good, then they're going to have a chance, because, you know, that there's much less of a randomness to that style of golf course than there is when you go to certain types of major championship golf courses.
You put in so much time. I mean, your research must be just extensive, but you love it. You have a real passion for this, don't you, Keith?
Oh, Ann, I do. I mean, when we bump into one another, you know, like, you ask me one question and that's like talking to a fire hose. I mean, I'm sorry, but yes. As a golf professional, you know, it's been a really good week for me as a PGA pro. And it has nothing to do with the betting part, but, you know, a lot of people are really excited about what I do, but I just thought Bryson was such a great winner. You know, with all due respect to everybody that thinks that they grow the game, what Bryson is doing right now, for all of us that are at the green grass golf courses, and I was there for 20 plus years, you know, and all, everything we're trying to do to make golf more popular, to have Bryson running around the streets of Nashville and going on the Tonight Show with the trophy and being so approachable. I mean, if Rory had won, would he be doing all of those things? And I'm not trying to pick on Rory. I'm just saying, like, no other champion was doing those things. Xander didn't do those things. Scotty didn't do those things at the Masters. Bryson has become this, like, mythical figure. I mean, remember at the Masters when he was carrying the sign and he looked like Jesus Christ? And then, you know, he came in second at Valhalla, you know, and you know, I mean, social media loves him. I mean, whatever happened to him as a paradigm shift has just been so good for golf. So it's reinvigorated even me in the media center this week. So, yes, I have passion for it, but some of these players have just done such a wonderful job of making my job so much more fun.
Absolutely. I really love Bryson DeChambeau. He's great for the game. I love the way he embraces the fans. And I think it's authentic. I don't think it's, you know, it's a show. I mean, he is a showman, but I think he really, really has a passion for what he does. And I think it's an honest connection to, you know, just connecting with people. So great to see. Keith, I love your passion. Continued success. And I'd love to have you on again. Thanks so much for the insight.
And you can call me anytime. I love talking golf with you.
All righty. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the final round of the Travelers Championship. Thanks so much for coming on. And coming up, we'll visit with golf personality Marty Hackle, Golf Digest Mr. Style. He's been up at the Travelers all week as well. TPC River Highland actually is his home course where the Travelers is being played. So we'll connect with Marty Hackle in a few minutes.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. And joining me now, Marty Hackle, Golf Digest, Mr. Style, golf personality extraordinaire. Marty, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Ah, good morning, Ann. Great to be joining you.
Hey, you've been at the Travelers Championship all week, and I know you've been a member at TPC River Highlands for a while now. So first, I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the changes to the course that they made this year. You know, every year they make it a little bit tougher. And what were some of the changes for this year?
Well, they made two types of changes. They narrowed the fairway on one, and they narrowed the fairway on the sixth hole. And then they changed the green. They really sort of made the greens on both the ninth hole and the 11th hole much more interesting. And it's resulted in some great shot making, some exciting moments, and some very disappointing moments. They made the green a little bit smaller on 9. Poor Victor Perez, the first round, took a triple bogey. He hit it over the green into the rough and back of the green and hit right underneath the ball twice and whiffed, if you will. So those changes have certainly had an impact on the players this year.
Right, the ninth at dogleg right, par 4, they moved the tee box to kind of bring that tree line more into play. I have to say, if you're in the rough, I mean, I know they narrowed the fairways and they added mounding to the various holes, but if you're in that rough, the rough is brutal, Marty.
Well,
it's very hard to get out of that rough.
Well, and the bigger problem is in addition to getting the ball out of the rough, is being able to stop the ball, because the players can't get any spin on the ball, and it's that spin that stops it. And we've seen a lot of players hit from the rough and right through the green. They bounce on the green, it rolls all the way to the back.
Right. For them, it's not a problem getting out of the rough. For amateurs, it might be. But you're right. It's more about the spin and the accuracy of where the ball lands. And you know, with all the rain they've gotten, I mean, I've heard they almost got, 2 inches of rain. The course is softer and has been very, very receptive to scoring. What are your thoughts about these low scores this week?
You know what? I'm one of those people who love the low scores. And I thought it was so great to see a 59 yesterday, especially from, you know, Cameron Young, who grew up, an hour from here.
Right.
His dad was the pro, David was the pro at Sleepy Hollow for a long, long time. And I'll tell you, I walked a couple of holes with them yesterday, and the crowd, by the time they got to 16, it was a huge crowd following Cameron Young and Jordan Spieth, who actually was just even par, was kind of like an afterthought, you know. So it was kind of ironic in a sense.
Right, what a treat for the fans out there. And his eagles on the par fours, which had to have been so exciting to be there to watch, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that one. But anytime you could eagle a hole from, 152 yards? I mean, it was quite a shot.
Very, very impressive play. And Cameron Young, you know, getting into this tournament has not had the greatest results. So it's good to see, you know, his game come around, and hopefully he can, you know, come up with something, you know, very exciting this morning. I want to say this afternoon, but they've moved up the tee time. So I know you're Mr. Style. So I have to ask you a couple questions. I mean, people who don't know you, you're wearing a dress shirt and a tie with temperatures in the 90s, right? You're the best dressed guy in the media, Marty Hackle, Mr. Style. So, I mean, who of all the guys on this leaderboard, who gets the prize for best dressed?
Well, no, I'll tell you. Jake Knapp is looking pretty good in original Penguin. Victor Perez is wearing B. Dratty, and he's looking very sharp. I mean, it's a leaderboard. Xander Schauffele has got DeSant, and he looks great. And, you know, a lot of times it's how you wear it, Ann, and no one wears it better than Scottie Scheffler. He, you know, he not only is the number one golfer in the world, he always looks, you know, just right. He never overdoes it.
Exactly. So how is fashion for men in golf kind of transformed through the years? You've been around for a long time, and what are your thoughts about, you know, the fashion transformation? The guys are looking very dapper.
Oh, you know what's happened is we've gone from everyone wearing pants that are too big to all of the players now with these new polyester stretchy fabrics. All of the pants now are really tight. So the pendulum is swung all the way to the other extreme. And with all of these new polyester fabrics, the technical properties are so great that you don't even see sweat on a lot of players.
That's a good point. I mean, fashion has meets technology. A lot of these brands combine the two, right? And you have
that.
Fashion and style with practicality and these high-tech fabrics that can absorb the moisture and, you know, that have UPF 50 sunscreen as well.
And, you know, some of these players at the end of the round, they look like they haven't even played. I mean, They're as clean and as neat as they were at the beginning of the day.
You know, with the temperatures, it's been so hot and muggy up there. That's an interesting point as well. So, and you know, aside from that, there's so much going on in golf. The third major on the women's calendar taking place across the country in the state of Washington. And I'd mentioned Amy Yang after 1 under yesterday. She's the leader by 2 at 7 under. And then you have Mayu Yamashita of Japan and Lauren Hartlage of the U.S. They're 2 behind at 5 under. How about the women's fashion, Marty? Women's fashion has transformed. It's progressed greatly in like the last 10 years, don't you think? I mean, there was a time when there were so few choices that offered, you know, style and practicality for women in golf, but that's come a long way, don't you think?
Oh, Annie, it's come so far that we even have a young lady named Kate Korngold, who's 14 years old, designed a line. It's called Feathery, and it's for teenage gals, and it is great. So we're even now seeing teenagers having a fashion and style influence in women's golf, and I think it's fantastic. It's really exciting, and the stuff looks great. So, you know, she's got a big future ahead of her.
14 years old, that's amazing. Very smart for, you know, a teenager to kind of get into that part of the biz, for sure. Okay, getting back to the Travelers, who are you picking to win today, Marty Hackle?
Cameron Young. Cameron
Ooh.
Young.
Okay.
And it's going to make for a great story. Local boy makes good.
Go ahead.
Last year we had Keegan Bradley, Vermont's Keegan Bradley. Maybe this year we're going to have New York Cameron Young.
Right. After shooting that 59, he's 5 shots back at 13 under with Patrick Cantlay. Hard to kind of come up with, you know, such a stellar score. But look, it's the conditions are soft, they're receptive. Maybe he can come up with another real low score and do just that, Marty Hackle. Hey, thanks so much for coming on. It's always fun to see you and visit with you and have you on the show.
My pleasure, Annie. My pleasure.
All right. Enjoy the final round this morning. My thanks to Marty Hackle, to Keith Stewart, to Manny Rodriguez in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori was brought to you by the Travelers Championship. See Scottie Scheffler, defending champion Keegan Bradley at the Northeast only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship. Final round this morning. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. And as I said, they moved up the tee times. Final threesome of Tom Kim, Akshay Bhatia, and Scottie Scheffler. They get going at 11:15 this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, Amy Yang, the leader by 2 at 7 under, Lauren Hartlage and Mayu Yamashita, 2 shots back. They get started at 1:27 Eastern time. Hey, Mark Malusis is up next. Look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.